Welcome to the next episode of Behind the Beard. Today I'm joined by my boy Carson Jones.
We're back.
And Asheville High head football coach, Court Radford. Court, welcome.
I appreciate it, man. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
There's only one person that could get me back in the saddle, and it's Coach Radford.
Is it another Asheville's My Boys year? What we're doing?
I've got the gear.
I mean, Carson was part of the best baseball team I ever coached. Probably the best baseball team ever assembled.
People know Coach Radford as a football coach. It's like, he's one of the best baseball coaches I ever had. He wrote the lineup, told us to go out there and
I just
play.
Stand in the third base box, just bored.
We would high-five them as we hit home runs, and American Legion used to play home games at Irwin. And if any listeners out there, Irwin is 230 foot to...
It's pretty short.
Pretty short.
Pretty short.
Yeah.
I would just stand in the third base box, like, all right, here we go. You know, just... Coach Cheek, my offensive coordinator, would coach first base.
Yeah.
And when Alex Sestino came up to bat, he would go sit in the dugout. Because it was terrifying.
Yeah. Cheek was our kind of what Caleb Presley did at Carolina, like supervisor of morale. That's what Cheek was. I mean, Cheek just got us like pumped up. It was always that Coach Radford was a professional one. You know, the kids that weren't super fun got in his van, and then Coach Cheek's.
I handpicked my van every time.
Coach Cheek's van was like, I mean, we bounced down the Interstate 40.
So 5 years as the Asheville High head coach, have you considered going back to baseball?
I love baseball.
Obviously not at Asheville. They got a fantastic baseball coach.
That's the only place coach I would Hillier, do it, yeah. Is where you have a turf field.
God, don't have to mow.
I mean, because the amount of work I had to do after football practice to go and keep a bad baseball field bad was just so much work I had to put in, you know, like, honestly, just to keep a bad baseball field bad.
That's the worst part about coaching baseball. It's got to be cutting the grass and lining the field. Football, you don't have to worry about that.
No.
You don't.
Everybody's turf around here.
It's great. It is.
Take a month? I mean, what was the longest stretch you took away from the baseball field?
So, like, when we would go to the beach for a week, and then it would come back. Look like I was gone for 4 years.
For 4 years, yeah.
Yeah. That's like, the whole grass at that point is covered in weeds, and it'd been a week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the...
It wasn't worth it at that
point. Asheville's baseball field. I know it's a cheat code, but it just...
It's great.
It's one of Everybody should do it.
It is fantastic. I got... Fortunate enough to umpire a few games there.
I thought you and my dad got keys to out there. You guys had them so much.
We had a few games out there. I would see Coach Radford about one out of every two games.
I try to show up when I can. Try to be there for the boys.
Were you the administrator on duty when we had a fan come at us? I'm just wondering.
No, most of the time our administrator on duty is the one yelling at you guys. So when you guys go to him and say, hey, I need somebody to kick this guy out, and it's that guy that has to kick himself out. But... I was at the South Iredale game. It was tough, man. I thought South Iredale had a good team.
Golly.
They were good.
Every call was a bang bang toss. Look, I'm human. I may have missed one.
Coach Hilliard, and I was like, it was tough, but I had to say it. I was like, congrats on beating the state champs again.
Ooh.
And he was like, yeah, I know. But I mean, it's just Robertson. Three-peats, 4A state championship, first time ever.
That's wild,
in history.
That's crazy.
I can't. Crazy is the only word that can say it.
What they did reminded me of who'd Carolina play this
Jesus
week?
Jesus Christ.
Arizona,
yeah, where you get smoked in the first game, and then you just I'll take care of two and three.
And the sad part is I know my little brother was looking up tickets and plane tickets and stuff. No, I just know it. He's not told me. I just know that he had it. Like getting ready for the text. It's like,
going to Omaha.
Are you coming with me, or am I going by myself?
Yes, you're probably right.
So no, we're not going to Omaha. That's tough.
Yeah, so I had them. I was like, I think Carolina wins today. Also thought Duke would win, and didn't happen.
Wright State. Do you guys know where Wright State's at?
No.
I don't.
I think Ohio, actually.
It sounds like a Mac. Is it Mac?
I know where Murray State
I don't know what it pertains to the conversation. But
like
Vanderbilt?
The Mac Conference.
I mean, that should be Vanderbilt, right? Wright State?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's in Ohio.
I think it's in Ohio. My wife asked me, and I was like, honey, I'm not 100. Mike's looking it up right now for the listeners.
We all have Google on our phones.
I just really hope it's in Ohio and not like Texas.
It can't be Texas.
Wright State University. It's in Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio, okay.
Right. So I was right.
That's a point.
That's 1 point.
So last year, coach, 5-3.
Yeah.
3-1 in a shortened season in the conference. 4A conference champs. Do you wish you could have played Irwin?
Yeah. I mean, I do. I mean,
Irwin to, you know, back story. No, Irwin 3A conference champs.
They had a great team. They had a great team. They were big up front. I thought the O-line was critical to their success.
Absolutely.
You know, we were scheduled to play them the week of the storm. And we had just beat Dobbins Bennett the week before. That was a big game. Thought we had good momentum going into that week. I knew it was rainy all week type deal. So I thought we had the advantage practice-wise because everybody had practice in the gym that week. And we're going to run the football. Right. We're trying to throw it. You know, so I thought we had the advantage. And the crazy thing is the, you know, me and Rodney talking, you know, Thursday, being like, hey, I think people are trying to move their game to tonight, but I think it's like Storm's going to get out of here Friday
That's
morning.
That's what we all thought.
And we'll be able to play Friday night. And even Friday morning, you know, before I knew the extent of the damage, like trying to get a hold of Rodney and being like, hey, man, I think we should push it to Saturday.
Saturday.
I think we should push it back a day. But just not having a clue of what
everything
because it was kind of like this own little, you're in your own little bubble.
Because you couldn't communicate.
You couldn't communicate and you didn't really know, like, so. You know, out in Weaverville, there's parts of Weaverville that look, you know, virtually untouched. And then you go around one corner on the street, and then it's like it looked like a, you know, the strongest tornado ever came through and wiped everything away. But we're sitting there, it's like Luke was having a game. We were talking about which game we're going to. And then next thing you know, it's like it was 3 days before I got a hold of my parents. And they're 7 miles away in Kenilworth in downtown Asheville. And it's like we were literally trying to cut out trees out of the road to get to back to my house because I didn't stay at my house Thursday night because the flood about took it away. And this was the flood before the storm. It was like just the rain Thursday night.
People don't understand that's what hurt us.
Yeah.
It was Thursday night when it, I mean, I remember leaving the gym after practice and there was standing water all over the turf football field.
Yeah.
And me thinking, I thought this rain was supposed to come tomorrow.
Come tomorrow.
You know, and I was trying to take kids to work at Jimmy John's after practice and it took me 2 hours to get them there.
So I've learned this just from, I mean, today. So you've got, how many kids do you have?
I've got three.
You've got three, and then you've got 50.
I've got about 85 more.
85 more.
Three plus 85.
Coach Radford drops kids off at Jimmy John's. He picks up kids, which I think would be good for listeners to hear. It's like football coaches. It doesn't just happen on Friday night. It's like
you don't just show up on Friday.
You pick kids up for workouts.
I mean, and all the coaches do. And I think we don't want to give our kid any reason of why they can't be there.
Yeah.
You know, if that means like my first run this morning for summer workout started at 7:15 for 9 a.m. workouts, and I had to make, you know, three different runs.
Wow.
And that's just, you know. But I don't want a kid to say, I can't come out on a ride. And so, you know, we make sure we go get them.
That's big.
You're not going to make every podcast talked about how North Carolina coaches are underpaid and you're not going to make, but the difference that you do make in individuals' lives, it's like, this is why people, when they're 40 years old and they say this coach impacted their life, it's that right there. It's not exactly what play you might've drew up. It's just, they remember how you made them feel and all that good stuff.
So speaking of the storm, you know, I went to work Friday morning. So I worked till about 12:01 and I come home and I'm like, ooh, crazy stuff. Well, we can't communicate with anybody. And it's Luke's senior year and I'm scared he's going to miss his game on Saturday because nobody can tell us that they're moving the time. Or we drove to Christ School through some crazy stuff. And of course we get there, they're all on the football field just playing. I mean, they don't know what's going on. There's no power. No water.
These are the kids that live
on campus. They're just playing. They're like throwing the ball around. They're like, nah. And there's no game, man. We don't know what's going on, but there's no game.
There's no game.
So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. But yeah, we got, I think that last year with Irwin and you guys, I think genuinely, you can't say this all the time, but both coaches, you guys both would have wanted to play.
I think we both wanted to play. I thought we had a pretty good team last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I hate the way, I mean, we lost. Every game last year, we had the lead in the second half. You know, it's one of those of just not being able to finish. And you look at that in all off season from a million different angles.
Yeah.
But, I thought we had a good football team.
So, 3-point loss to Reynolds. You beat TC by 30, 45-15. And then first round loss to Marvin Ridge. Marvin Ridge, a tough team out of Charlotte.
Yeah. They had that defensive end who he was undersized. And he had an offer from Colorado. And I was like, man, he's only about 6 foot. Like, and so you got to realize if the kid's undersized and has an offer from Colorado, he's a dude.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just so hard to tell because, I mean, you're watching them against Weddington and you're like, they're okay. But it's against Weddington.
Yeah.
So it's tough to draw the comparison. And they were just, they were so big up front. And then at the second half, they just leaned on us. We were terrified. I mean, the games they had won had been because of the receiver they had that's committed to Boston College. And so we were worried about him. And honestly, if you watch the playoff game after they beat us, if they would just continue to run the football, I mean, people didn't stop them when they ran the football. And so that's what we spent a lot of stuff this offseason on. It's just saying we're not going to try to not let people run the ball and down our throat there at the end. Yeah, but it's nice that we're now in 8 classifications, so we don't have to play a school that's twice our size.
So where's Marvin Ridge now, do you know?
7A, I think.
7A. That's like we were talking about Irwin played a team that's an 8A in the playoffs.
So. Yeah, and we were sitting there, and we were at the game that we're talking about, and they had, you can tell, the backup linemen staying together on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And they were large individuals as well. And we're like, that line probably starts at majority of schools around here.
Oh yeah.
They were
big and strong up front. Anyway, like I said, I thought we played well early.
Yeah.
Anytime you lose your dude, when Kaheem Plummer went out to start second half, that was a blow to us because he started on both sides of the ball. Now Josh Ellis ended up, running a touchdown in right after that happened.
Right.
But not having Kaheem to go out there and play Mike that next series was tough.
Tough, yeah.
The crazy thing is, Carson and I went, they wouldn't allow us to sit on the home side. They made us sit on the visitor's side.
Yeah, we did sit on the visitor's side.
Yeah.
But we also sat on the visitor's side with Coach Radford's dad. So
I tell my family sits on the visitor's side.
It's easier to get in and out over there, actually.
It is, and you don't have to hear what people say about the coach. Nice things about me, and they don't want
no. Do you guys have a booth inflated? A booth for the visiting coaches?
Up top?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were standing behind us.
They were standing behind us yelling.
Yeah, I probably mean, it's a long walk.
I guess it is. But I was like, if I knew what they were doing, I would text you guys and let y'all know if I understood football talk.
He just said.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. So
our own Connor Stallions over here.
I'm not smart enough for that, but that's what an asset to have.
Mm. So you lose some big guys this year. Who you got coming this year that's going to be kind of like your main guys? Who are your studs we need to know about?
I was just young. And like I said, we graduated a very good class. I love those kids. They're a good group. And we got some seniors that have played a lot of football coming in behind them with, that's played with Monty Mosley, Kendrick Robbs, Dylan Bienvenue, Quatavius Todd, Oliver Pretrick, Davion Howard, all those guys have played, significant minutes for us. And they've got to lead the young group. We're going to be young. We ended up starting a freshman at center last year. And so he'll be back as a sophomore. Brenton Miller, he's a ball player. And then our two bookend tackles, 6'7", 280, and 6'6", 315.
That's a pretty good size.
They're big, and we got some good. Like I said, our young kids are very, very talented. They're just young, and so I think it's going to take time under the Friday nights for them to feel. Like I said, I thought, and there's no way of knowing, but I mean, our JV team was 4-0 and pretty good.
Yeah.
When the storm hit and JV season was over, and we told them, I didn't send anybody home. I told them all, like, keep coming. I can't promise you that you'll play, but we tried to get everybody in.
Yeah, that's huge.
You guys did a lot of stuff. Didn't you guys do a lot of community service and stuff?
We just tried to help. I know everybody was trying to help. We just tried to help and, then get the – I mean, because at that point there was no school or anything, so we'd practice and then just go try to help people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And like I said, and then we let the young kids come out, like Clement Davidson. Losing Kaheem Plummer and Josh Ellis, those were two really good high school running backs.
Right.
And Samaj Brown had to kind of wait his time behind them. And he was ended up being our leading tackler on defense. So you got him and you got Clement Davidson, who's the next Kaheem Plummer. And that's kind of what we've told him. Like, we need you to be. And as a freshman last year, he averaged like 11 yards a carry on varsity. And so he's a dog. He is. So I think we're talented. I just think they're inexperienced.
There seems to be some excitement too with the. It's going to be, with, Meek leaving and now opens up an opportunity. We're going to have a new quarterback under center, shotgun, whatever you want to say. What do you think that could bring to the team as well?
Yeah. I mean, Tay Williams going to be the quarterback. He was quarterback JV. I mean, and he can play. And he's a smart kid. He makes made all A's and all honors classes. Yeah, you got to tell him once. And a lot of times in spring ball, he was so good in spring ball. And just as far as you tell him one time, and then he can get everybody lined up, and he can handle everything. He can hard count. He can kill it. He can check to the next spot. I mean, I threw so much stuff at him just to kind of see what he can't do. And really, it was very limited of what he can't do. And so Meek was great for us. You know, wish him nothing but the best. But, you know, we're excited to have Tay back there because it's kind of he's going to be playing with a lot of the kids that he grew up playing with.
Yeah.
So you had a couple, your last two quarterbacks, pretty highly hyped. I know Meek was a 3-year starter. What's the key to keeping a quarterback at Asheville for 4 years?
When I find out, I'll let you know.
Is this the one?
I'm 0-2, so I don't know yet. We'll see. I think Tay's a lifer, man.
And it's just one of those things too. It's like what all the, you know, Coach Laws in his interview, he talked about it. It's just everything's kind of trickled down from college to now where it's like you're actively, you've got to pour so much into your kids because you're actively recruiting your own players as well.
So speaking of players, we kind of joke around the portal, but anybody coming in that's going to be a difference maker for you?
No. I mean, not that I have heard of. No, we don't.
So you haven't been working the portal?
No, we don't worry about the portal.
I'm just kidding.
We worry about Asheville kids.
I like that.
And that's honestly true. If someone shows up, sure. I'm not turning anybody away. We like our young group. You know, and I say young group, and I probably shouldn't because we're going to have some seniors that are going to be key to our success. Yeah. We're going to have some older guys that are going to be key to our success. But we do know that there's going to be a lot of youth on the field.
I know. I went back and listened to last year's interview, and one of the questions I said was, you know, what do you think about kids jumping around from school to school? And you're like, I don't care. You want to play for me? Show up. If you don't, go somewhere else. I don't care.
Yeah, and that hasn't changed. I want kids that want to be there. I want to be there. You know, I want kids that want to be there. And if you don't want to be there for any reason whatsoever, there's no hard feelings at all. Yeah. And there can't be. You know,
got too many. You've got 85. You've got too much stuff to worry about.
Well, and you care about the kid. Yes. You know, and if the kid feels like doing something else is what's best for him, then I want him to go do it. Now I'm going to make sure that all the information is out on the table. You know, and make sure that he sees every angle of it before he makes a decision. But I feel like that's my job, is to make sure he makes a well informed decision, and then, you know, whatever decision he makes, you know, that's fine. Whether it's to stay with us, whether it's to leave. That part's fine. You know, I think my part is making sure that it's a well-informed decision and not a knee jerk or this seems like it'd be fun to do.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So strengths versus weaknesses, are you going to be stronger offensively, defensively, on the line? What are you thinking?
It's a good question. When you look at us, you know, I think you say the strength's got to be up front. We're as big as we've ever been.
When you got two guys that are, you know, 6'7" and above.
We're big. You know, I think we legitimately have, in a world where recruiting is so hard right now, I think we legitimately have four, you know, potential P4 offensive linemen in that group. And that's strictly off of it's wild.
Yeah, that's
to have
wild.
Them all at the same time. Yeah, that's off size. You know, that's not necessarily, I mean,
because that's cats, the first. They that's don't the have, first step.
Yeah, they don't have the playing experience yet. They have the. Yeah. They
but,
have.
But the you got to start with the measurables.
Oh, they walk through the door and you're like, okay, that's one. You know, yeah, and we got you know four of them that passed that look test as far as length, hand size, all that stuff, and that run well, bend well. I think we have four. So if you're asking what we're going to lean on, I think up front on that's offense and defense. You know, Dylan Bienvenu. It was all conference kid last year for us. He squats right at 500 pounds, and he's a ball player. And he kind of anchors our defensive line, you know, with some of the other guys that's been there. So spring ball is fun between the battle of, you know, offensive line versus defensive line. It was good battles up front.
That's good. So last year, another quote you had was, teams are – I'm going to mess up the exact quote because I didn't write it down. The best teams are not coach-led teams, but player-led teams. So
yeah, I think that's. I mean, I think that's
you got
common
some guys.
And consistent throughout any team sport. You know, it's understanding. You know, what I tell the kid. I mean, I'm going to be here. I've done it for 15 years, and I plan to do it for many, many more. Hopefully, you know, it's your team. I'm gonna manage it. You know, but seniors, like, this is your senior year. you know, and how it, you know, I probably put too much emphasis into today. The first day of summer workouts has me just terrified because I've had 2 years in my head coaching experience that I you know, say that was a bad year. You know, I'm not pleased with how that year went. And when I look at, you know, because I keep everything on a spreadsheet forever and ever. And so when I go back and look at those 2 years, first day summer numbers, they're astronomically lower than the other ones. And so this morning I was up at 5 a.m. just dreading day one, you know, terrified that I was going to have 30, you know, yeah. Because I've seen, okay, if I have 30, we're not going to be very good.
Yeah.
There's a commitment flaw. There's something there.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I probably put too much, I don't know if it's correlation or causation. There's probably a million different factors in it, but I probably put too much pressure on it, but we had a good first day.
How many were there?
62.
Well, yeah, that's a
breakfast. That's great.
It was a good first, and 62. And my big thing is we try to treat it like, we want the kids to grow up and be men. And part of that is kind of treating this like a job. It should be fun, and we want it to be fun, but your expectation is to be there. And if you're not going to be there, the expectation is let me know. You don't just show up to work or not show up to work and don't let anybody know. So the good thing was I also had, you know, 15 text messages saying, Coach, I'm out of town or I'm sick or this, that, or at least letting me know that they were not going
to
be
there. And I think that's huge too, because then you're creating some accountability to where we did that with baseball with Todd, where it's like, we don't want to communicate with the parents. It's like, if you're not going to be at practice or something, it's like, if you can drive a car, you can let me know that you're not going to be at practice. And I know that, you might have different or, you know, you might be in different circumstances or whatnot, but I think that creating communication, I think, is a skill that these kids will carry on forever.
Well, and I always tell the parents, like, I will meet with you at any point. Now, I get it more as a dad now than I got 10 years ago. You know, I do. I will meet with the parent whenever. My only stipulation is that the kid comes and meets with me first.
Yep,
that has to happen first. As long as that happens first, I will meet with the parent at any point.
Yeah.
You know, but I want the young man to come in and have a conversation. Like, I'm not happy about playing time. I'm not happy about, like, it's fine. I want that conversation. I'd much rather have the conversation than the kid just sit over there and be angry and upset and not have the conversation.
Yeah. And which is different. I mean, I go back to my first day at, which I can't believe that this even happened, but my dad reminded me that the head baseball coach at App State sent a message out and was like, hey, you know, just to let everybody know, got a parent email. And it was basically like, hey, I don't talk to parents. I'll meet with parents. If you have a question about playing time, you know, that's fine. Just make sure your kid brings his jersey whenever you meet. And it's like, it just shows how much different. But then I'm a parent, I'm like, I'm glad that, you know, Todd had the rule as well, where it's like, come meet with me. And then, I mean, he was open to meet with parents. And I don't think he had the rule to meet with the kid first, but it was like, that's a very, very good stipulation that.
I mean, I get it. Like I said, I'm a dad. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, we're trying to grow young men. So it's good to have uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
It's important.
Especially for these young men. You mean they're, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Sit down and say, Coach, man, I'm upset. I'm not playing and I don't really know why. What can I do? Like, I love that.
Could you imagine a kid coming in and being like, what can I do to get better, to get more opportunities?
And
like, that's a great,
And I love that conversation. I do. Because it means they care, first of all, because, you know, we always, you know, say the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
Yeah. Right.
And so I would rather you be angry that you weren't playing than completely indifferent that you're not playing.
And if you completely don't care, it's like you're probably not putting any other effort.
Same for the player side. You want the coach yelling at you because once he stops, he quit caring.
Yeah, if he's indifferent, then you need to be worried.
Correct. And you, as a kid, you don't fully understand that, but that's where I think, you know, and we've talked about this in many pods where it's like, I don't think the kids have changed. I think sometimes they're a product of their environment to where, you know, parents may have changed, but I think the more we create, like, it's like you said, uncomfortable conversations. It doesn't even have to be, it might seem uncomfortable, but it's just how many uncomfortable, it's like, wait till you go have a meeting with the doctor on, like, hey, you've got a 36 week pregnant wife. It's like, that's an uncomfortable conversation.
Wait, Whitney's pregnant again?
No, she's not pregnant again. But you're just like, I mean, there's just all sorts of things that these kids will be presented with, whether it's in a year or two, whether it's that year, whether it's 10 years down the road, that, you know, these values will stay with them.
So, Coach, just tell us about your staff. I know you've had a few changes.
Yes, I mean, so Daryl Clark you know, been with me for a couple of years. I worked with him at Irwin, you know, and he was great. And he ended up, you know, taking the McDowell job, and I'm happy for him. We talked a little bit about it, and he lives down there, and he's, you know, he's hit the ground running. He's done a really good job, you know, bringing, you know, some atmosphere, you know, some excitement to McDowell right now. You know, he's got kids out, and he took one of the assistants with him, which, you know, was the right thing to do for him and for, you know, Coach Brown, who was our strength guy, linebackers, JV defense coordinator. You know, he stretched the kids before everything. And so he went down there with him to run his weight room. Cause I told him, I was like, I told Coach Carr, you got to get a, you know, weight room guy and you got to get an O-line guy. You know, that's the two key important hires. And then you go from there, you know, and with him getting Landon to be able to, you know, come run his weight room and be the DC. I'm excited for those guys, man. I mean, I'll be pulling for, we're playing them in JV, you know, we end up getting a JV game with them, you know, but I'm pulling for those guys and I want to be successful. And that's, Coach Clark's the first, you know, guy that's worked under me or with me that has gone on to be a head coach. And so that's a little special for me too.
Absolutely. Do you wish you still played McDowell in the regular season?
Not with Coach Clark coaching. No way. I'm really excited for him because he's very excited. You know, we still hang out, we'll still play golf, and you know, I'm just very excited for the direction he's got the program moving in. But you know, right now, you know, things can change. They can change.
Absolutely.
They
can change. It's still early. It's only June.
It's very early. Right now, I'm coaching quarterbacks. Coach Hammonds, still coaching running backs.
Coach Hammonds. Been there for 700 years.
We're still looking at different options at tight ends now. I did get John Nick Sutherland. I don't know if that name sounds familiar to
That's
anybody.
That's a Reynolds guy.
Yeah.
That is.
How many Reynolds guys do you have on your staff?
A few.
Yeah, like a bunch.
No, not a bunch. A few. but John Nick, he was a great player. I remember coaching against him.
Yeah.
You know,
this is breaking news, right?
He's a great guy. He coached my son's T-ball team.
And I was super guy.
If you can coach
John
T-ball,
Nick's super guy for sure.
Then, you know,
he graduated with Nate St. Ange, that class, right?
No, he was 1 year older than me. 2013. He graduated with Justin.
Okay.
But Justin,
sorry, coach.
Well, I told him, like, if you want to try this out, like, this is a good time to do it. You know, like come try it out. So I don't know where exactly he'll be coaching. You know, tight ends is a, you know, a possible fit, but I think he's definitely on board. Chavis Williams at receivers, been with me since day one at Asheville. You know, and then Cody Cheek calling the offense, doing the offensive line with Bill Silver. You know, and then you flip over to defense, and you got Bradley Haynes, who was a captain at Asheville High back in the day. You know, and he coached our D-line last year, did a great job, great with the kids, and a great leader, and he works in the school building. So you got him, you got Jesse Swain, you got Kobe Rudisell back on defense, you know, and you got Jake Cardillo as the defensive coordinator, and you got Coach Pye, you know, working with the DBs, and you got Hunter Duckett working with specialists and making it, like, the key thing is what people don't really realize is we film everything, and the film is critical. You know, and so Hunter Duckett, you know, he's in charge of filming everything along with coaching the specialist. And, you know, that job, and I've had to tell him how important that job is, you know. And then also, as you go through our staff, it'd be crazy for me not to even, like, mention, you know, Scott Buchanan and Mike Zibioski and those guys at the middle school, because I think that's one of the strengths of our program, is what it gets done at the middle school and the relationships that we have with Coach Buchanan and with Coach Zibby and those guys down there, you know, and kind of makes the program more, you know, vertically aligned. And we're all after the same thing.
That middle school program is generally pretty tough down there.
They are. They do a really good job. And they care about the kids a lot. And they do everything they can do to help the kids.
Which is, and we talked about, it's crazy that he lost two coaches and then he just named off all of those. So it sounds like you've got still have a core.
We have a good core staff. Now, yeah. I mean, and it's harder to find coaches than it's been. Yeah. I used to be, like, I put it something out there, like, we're looking for a tight ends coach, whatever, on Twitter and, you know, NC Preps and all that stuff. And when I would do that 5 years ago, I would have 40 emails with resumes and I had zero.
Not one.
And I used to have 40 from California to New York and people that would never come, but we're just sitting there and applying for jobs. Not happening, you know? And so we're having to, you know, get out there and try to make sure that our staff is as complete as possible to make sure we're coaching our kids.
Carson and I know a guy.
I do. I mean, Derek Green's itching to get. he's gonna kill me for saying that. Yeah. But I told him. He said, "Tell Court I said hello," and I said, "I'll tell him that you're itching to get back into
it." Is he not living in South Carolina?
He is.
No, he is definitely.
Oh, it's a short drive though. Huh?
Just a short one.
Yeah, 26. That'd be fine.
He's got to come to the office once a week, once a month anyway.
26 is light.
Ugh.
Gosh.
So let's talk about your schedule real quick.
Okay.
So pretty tough. East Rutherford. Who's been fantastic the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
8-4 last year. You're at Diamonds Bennett again. At Crest, 10-3 last year. Playing Asheville School at home. They were 7-2 state champs in Division II and Watauga.
Yeah.
I mean, ooh, that's pretty tough.
Oh, it is. I mean, that's what it's going to be at Asheville. I mean, I don't think for as long as I'm going to be at Asheville, you're able to look at our non-conference and be like, oh, that's a pretty easy one, huh? You know, I just don't think that's going to happen. So
you're not going to be able. We're not going to know if you guys are going to have a down year by looking at the schedule before that.
It's hard. Yeah. So I mean, East Rutherford, they return every skill player they have from last year. A team that beat Reedsville. They had
Reedsville,
the whole thing that's, with the tight end.
What do you think the spread was on that before the game?
I don't know.
And then four
touchdowns.
But then turned around and lost Brevard the next week.
Yeah. That's tough to do it twice.
Dude, the highly emotional game, though, it's like it's the letdown.
They beat Reedsville, man.
That's their state championship.
Yeah, beating Reedsville's a big deal.
And they're all back. You know, and Coach Searcy, who was my online coach, he was the OC down there. You know, and it was interesting because when the hurricane happened and we were just trying to find games, we didn't know what was going to happen. And we were going to try to play them. And I was like, how are we going to? We both call everything the same thing. Like there's going to be like a no looking at signals type of deal. But he's since gone to Corinth Holders, so he won't be there. But Coach Russ and then they do a good job. And then week two is Dobbins Bennett. And I told you have a young team. And you take them to Dobbins Bennett. Yeah,
that's a big place,
man.
That's exciting.
At the end of spring ball, we had lightning or something. We had to go inside to the old boys gym, which echoes louder than anything you've ever heard. And you know, we did a Dobbins Bennett 5-minute period of it is as loud as possible, and their defense is making calls, offense is trying to get snap count, and it, I mean, some frustration set in.
Oh yeah,
but it was great because like, guys, this is exactly what it's going to be. You can't hear now. Good, you know, I mean, this is week two. You know, in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee. And that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the young guys, they got a little chip on their shoulder, you know, to where they're like, yeah, we'll go play them over there. Yeah. And so you got them week three, Crest.
You used to coach at Crest, correct?
I did. I was, I broke up their 32 game win streak. They were 32-0, and they hired me to be their DC, and we lost South Point week one. So,
was that your last game at Crest?
If that had been a fan poll, then probably, yeah. But
did South Point throw some numbers up on the board?
No. It wasn't like a high scoring affair.
Okay.
But that's, I mean, it was good when I worked down at Crest because I learned like the standard is 7. You know, like you give up 7, like you can give up one touchdown and that's it. You know, and that was fun. Now this team at Crest is supposed to be the next state championship team for them.
Wow.
It's, but I mean, as they've got all
their dudes. They got Reynolds' old quarterback still, right?
They got all their dudes. They do.
And then Asheville School.
Yeah.
You never know about Asheville School, Christ School. They just bring kids in from nowhere.
Shows up week four.
I think it's exciting, though.
I'm curious to see. I'm curious to see crowd. I'm curious to see.
I
think the kids care about it, you know, and I wanted to play. I mean, the kids care about Crest. Yeah, a little, and Dobbins Bennett a little, but it's kind of far away. You know, and to have a local non-conference, you know, that the kids care about, you know.
And it shouldn't be super tough to get your boys up for that. Because it's like, I mean, they've got this multiple state championships.
Yeah, they've won three in a row. We'll see. And then Watauga's Watauga.
Yeah, Watauga, they're tough to play.
My DC's pretty upset with me about that one.
Yeah, they're tough. You know, you're not going to see that offense again.
Yeah, which offense are they going to run? They have like four of them, and they're all vastly different, and they can throw them out at any time. They have the smartest kids in the world, apparently.
So talk about your willingness to play private schools, even local ones. I know talking to some coaches in this area, they just want to see you kick their teeth in, Asheville School, that is.
Yeah, you've got a lot of fans that game.
Well, if they could donate some players that game, we'll take them. no, it's going to be hard. I mean, the Asheville School is going to be pretty good. You know, and I think it's a good game for Asheville School because it's one of those like, hey, you've been told you don't belong. It's a good chance, you know, for you to say that, yeah, you do belong.
Do you think this is something you could see? Like, are you going to wait and see how it goes? And then, like, you'd be open to playing them again?
Oh, we got a 2-year contract.
2-year, okay.
Yeah. Both at Asheville High?
I mean, our fans don't bring lawn chairs to games. I mean, that's kind of a set standard. You know, we're going to play in a stadium. But That's not meant as a slight, even though it definitely came off as one.
I mean, I've been to one over there, and they do.
They do bring in bleachers for the big games. Like Christ School, we had bleachers, but I mean, it's not like Asheville
them.
School. It's not like Asheville High School. For
not
sure.
many of them.
And it's not a far travel for them. I mean, it's no different. I mean,
and let's be honest, private schools, they're never going to bring a big crowd.
No. I mean, and we're hoping that we get some good traffic that way. And we actually have the bye week when everybody is playing, and so we play with Taga when nobody's playing up here.
Everybody'll be there.
So we hope that's a good.
That should make up for your Asheville school crowd.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm curious about that game. I like I said, you don't know what they have. You don't know who they're going to bring in. They still may not know who they have. They're still probably trying to get kids into school.
Definitely trying to figure out what kids can
being
pay.
A Christ school. You didn't know till July 1st when camp started what you had.
Yeah.
And
sometimes we'd find out on Twitter too.
Yeah, Twitter just shows
like,
up.
Hey, this Canadian all American athlete just.
Well, the Canadian kids that DM me every day thinking that I'm at Asheville School are going over there. They're pretty good ball players.
Can you not get them at your place?
I told them, like, buddy, you can't reclass over here.
Bring them on in. We can set up some housing for them.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, man.
You got three kids at the house. There's
a little busy.
Oh, man. And then, of course, you got conference. You got, unfortunately, the big three. Right in a row, TC at home, at Reynolds, and Irwin at home.
Yeah, some things never change.
And then you end the season, North Buncombe and at Inca.
Yep.
So.
Pretty. I mean, it's similar to what we've had for the last 4 years.
Well, how do you feel about all three, the big three, being in the same, in 6A together?
Yeah, that's probably what it needs to be.
I think so.
I mean, we're all about the same size.
Yeah.
I mean, you can take 100, 200 either way, but, you know, we're all about the same size. We should be.
How about the smaller schools petitioning, trying to send y'all off the mountain?
I would do it too if I was them.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, you can't fault them. And we can sit there and be like, come on, man. Like, you got to play us. We're close to you and stuff. But if I was in their shoes, I would be petitioning the same thing. So yeah. I don't blame them. I'm glad it worked out in our favor. Just for not saying that I want to play them. I'm just saying that, you know, distance wise.
For travel.
Yeah.
Less time on an activity bus.
Yeah, I mean, I drive the activity bus.
When you played, you were in the Northwestern 4A, right?
I was. I mean, and I get that. Like, yeah. I mean, our closest conference game was McDowell.
McDowell was the closest.
Yeah. And then, I mean, South Caldwell, Alexander.
Because Robertson was not in.
No.
Yeah. That was non-conference.
No, we were. Okay. We were the only one at that point that went that way.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
Alexander Central, South Caldwell, Watauga.
I'm blanking.
McDowell, and then there was another one, Eastburg.
And Eastburg, yeah.
Wasn't Alexander Central in there too?
Yeah.
Alexander Central.
Dustin Eastburg. Harrington.
Yeah.
They could spin it.
That was a heck of a baseball
game. It was a great baseball. Madison Bumgarner.
Watching Madison Bumgarner, Sam Runyon go at it was something that.
I remember talking to Dakota, and he's like, yeah, I played against Madison Bumgarner.
26-3. Yeah. Lost three to him.
Mm.
Y'all lost all three games to them?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Anything else you want to bring up?
sounds like the Reynolds people when Destino beat them three times every year, and then they made, after we graduate, they make the rule where you play the series now.
I like the series. I think that's a good idea. I mean,
the series is a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's also like, it's not like we didn't face Parker Johnson every time we played
them. It's the Destino rule, man.
Yeah, I get it.
It's the Carson Jones rule.
That's not me.
So, budget cuts. We've been hearing about budget cuts. The city and the county schools losing some cash. Is that going to affect you at all?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, it's very, yeah. Is it going to affect us? Yes. You know, and you hate it because we're losing money, and the stuff that we need to run the program at the caliber that we want to run it at is not getting cheaper. And also, I mean, it's a very fine line right now with fundraising and donations. I mean, everybody up here was greatly impacted by the hurricane, and either people lost a lot or people gave a lot.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to go hit those people up, try to get some money for a banner or this, that, and other. It's a tough time, and it's a time where you got to do without a little bit. You know, it's kind of how we're approaching it, and that's fine for right now.
So when you say do without, I mean, how do you cut a budget of a football program?
So it takes us it costs us roughly $40,000 to run a football program for a year between, you know, food and, you know, clothing and travel and this, that, and everything else. You know, and helmet reconditioning is crazy expensive.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, everything, it's making do with shirts instead of getting new shirts. Like all the number, like I had a kid, I gave him number 9 JV kid today, and he walks out there to run in it, and it It was so torn. I felt bad. Couldn't really tell when I was laying it out. I was like, buddy, I'll get you a new one. It won't be your number, but I'll get you a new one. You know, but I'm not necessarily worried about reordering that shirt right now. You know, and Asheville's treating me good. They rarely tell me no when we need something. Yeah, but you know, budget cuts are coming, and you know, it is what it is. And like I said, we're trying to make sure our fundraising efforts stay on par with what we've done, but we're also trying to be considerate of the time that we're in.
So what do you guys do for fundraisers, and do you have any coming up?
We just finished our online fundraiser, you know, and then we work the tourist games. And that's kind of a fun deal. It's kind of fun, I guess would be the best way to say it.
Yeah, we've definitely done that, and it's...
I like it. I like it once it starts. I dread it on the day of when I'm like, man, I gotta go watch a tourist game with these kids tonight. But, you know...
When you're rolling hot dogs, it's like...
And it's obviously good team building stuff, because I'm back there with Brandon Chapman, and he's cooking as fast as he can cook them, and I'm rolling them, and we're having a good time, you know? And so that part of it's fun. And then we have our big golf tournament at the Country Club of Asheville, July 21st, which has been, you know, be third year in a row we've had it over there. And it's a really good fundraiser for us. You know... We had to push it back last year.
Did it get canceled?
Yeah, no, not canceled. Now that's the best of bad word. No,
not
no,
canceled.
Pushed back. Pushed back. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We ended up playing it during our bye week.
Okay,
and so that was fun. It was a little bit cooler out there. Yeah, you want a team in it this year, Carson?
Well, we were having a team in it last year, and it got pushed back. And I don't think we ever got the memo. But we were going to do a behind the beard sponsored team.
Okay, I'll go and put that down in my
budget. Put it down.
Who's playing? You need three. It's just threesomes. We play two threesomes.
Wait,
yeah. We don't want any. Yeah. So you play two threesomes. All right. The guy's keeping the score right in the middle cart.
You're together.
Yeah. So both threesome, teams. Threesome. You keep the other threesome
three cards,
scores.
And the
guys
in the middle
keep opposite team score.
Yeah.
Ain't no fun. We don't do no hand toss. We don't do no
string.
Dude,
I love that. So there's no pencil whipping.
Oh, no.
It's
straight
legit.
Up golf. Okay. I mean, when you're playing for money, you're playing for money.
Wait, so you can't pull out the foot wedge?
There's no foot wedge.
Do handicaps get involved? Or
no,
is it...
handicaps are involved. You got gross and net.
Okay. Really?
You are more. You just moved to the front of your seat.
I'm very. Because I've got a couple of sticks for sure.
You got some ringers?
I've got a couple of ringers.
Yeah, they want you to see them. Okay. Again, handicap.
Yeah, we'll do it again. Well, yeah, I think I told Cardillo or something. We were going to do it last year, and then it got postponed or something. Something happened.
Get you two ringers and let's see what you got.
All right.
That's definitely not me.
Yeah, but
it'd be fun
to
have around.
Mike's a vibes guy. It's like, I'm not bringing him to... Mike's not a long drive guy, but he's a vibes guy.
He's just the first putt, man.
So I used to play a ton of golf. When I was in Bowling Green, I played a ton of tournaments, scrambles. And we had this old guy who could hit off the senior tees, but he could freaking crush it. So, you know, he would crush it off the senior tees, and we could swing out of our shoes trying to put it in the middle of the fair. Once in a while, you know.
I've got to look at the course, and I need to get eyes on it and see the difference between red tees and not, because I might call a college girl.
Oh,
golfer.
No. Coach Cheek sets the tees. There ain't no everyone hits from the same
everyone
spot.
Everyone hits from the same
whether
spot.
Whether you
okay.
are my grandmother or whether okay. you are right. a golfer at NC Central that was out there just dropping bombs.
All
so
right, I'm pumped. I'm definitely I'm here. I'm not on vacation that week, so that's we'll do it.
So one other question about the schedule: how many teams did you have to call?
I mean, that's all I did. I spent 2 weeks just calling people nonstop. And it was probably worse because it was calling and saying, hey, if we're in this conference and you're in that conference,
you seem to be out in front of
play?
It.
What do you mean?
You seem to make some, when we talked to you, when you came on the podcast.
I told you the potential.
You were like, I either got this schedule.
And it was wrong.
I'm not sure everybody had that.
No, I mean, I worked pretty hard. I mean, I was trying to make it happen. And like I said, because I think during that time we were going to play either Burns or Hendersonville week three. And Burns ends up in the super big conference. Hendersonville has to play, you know, there.
West
to
the east and north.
And so we got Crest. Super pumped about that, you know. But we really wanted to play Burns because we played them in JV for 3 years in a row. And they've always been great games. You know, I thought our kids really played well against each other. Like a respect type deal too, and so we were finally going to, you know, put a series together, and then they were in a 12-team conference, something crazy, with Highland Tech.
With Highland Tech, so I know you just had some conference meetings. Anything exciting come out of those meetings? That you can share.
I want to ask one question. Besides that, who's like the? I mean, as you can imagine, it's like Philly and Bill are like the alpha dogs. And, like,
baseball.
They control the baseball conference meeting.
Yeah.
Does everybody bow down to Shane. Is it a good mix?
Sexton, who's coached a ton of football games. You got Ronnie Pruitt. Who's, it doesn't matter.
He's well respected. I've told you that in the beginning.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
he is well respected.
I still have to be the secretary, even though I've been in the college for 5 years because I'm the youngest. So I still have to take the notes.
Are you the youngest?
Yes. Yeah. Everybody else is getting ready to retire. Everyone else can retire in the next 3 years.
Yeah, that is wild.
So, yeah, I still have to. Actually, I need to, because we kind of petitioned to do all conference a different way. So I got to send that in to be voted on. I cannot tell you what we said, but it's a little change, you know, not a big change, but I've got to write it up and send it in to get approved.
So anything exciting other than that come out of there? Anything big?
It's the same conference that we're always been. Yeah. We all know each other.
You get McDowell, you lose McDowell, you get McDowell, you lose McDowell. Yeah. That's how it works.
And so, like I said, very familiar. We had to go through logistics and construction. We actually had it at T.C. Robertson, and even though I grew up here, lived up here, yeah, I've never been inside the school of T.C. Robertson.
It's weird because it's
besides
like...
Besides their basketball gym, I've not either.
No, it's...
You've never been to their baseball field?
I mean, baseball field
inside
and basketball...
Inside the school.
Yeah, inside the school.
I've never been in a hallway. Just the basketball.
I walked down the longest hallway I think I've ever seen.
Robertson?
Yeah, because it's a big school and it's all like on one floor. So,
and they've got like a ninth grade academy or something.
Do you know like where the front of the school is?
I don't think I do.
I found it.
You found
it? I did.
So are you telling us you were late because you couldn't figure out where you were going?
No, I'm always at Bear Bryant time over here, you know, but yeah. I
was the last one here today, but I was 10 minutes early.
Mm. If you're on time, you're late, just saying.
Yep.
I start texting these guys 5 minutes before, you're late.
That's
they love it. Pat and Carson love it.
Robertson's a different world, though. It's like the traffic on Hendersonville Road, the traffic getting there, it's just...
I didn't know they had a front of the school.
Is it where the Rams are?
It's like where you like the football field adjacent over to the left hand side.
Is that where the statue is?
I guess.
I don't know.
Oh, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I just had never been inside it before. I don't even think that was a question that was asked of have you ever been inside T.C. Robertson?
I've not been. I'm trying to think of what schools in the conference Reynolds and North Buncombe.
So crazy.
Been inside Asheville High School?
No.
I have, yes.
You're missing out, man.
I've been
Do you have a suite office?
No.
We've been in
his
office.
Wait, was that your office we were in?
It's
You've
huge.
Got a sick office.
It's the biggest office
in
the conference.
Yeah, it's like a 3,600 square foot office.
Yeah, it's hidden. That's the best part.
Okay. I've been in there. Okay.
We went to another county school. Oh, and we were in the basement in a tiny little room with no AC. We about died of heat stroke.
That's not good.
Just saying.
Yeah, that's tough.
So, most surprising school that told you no when you called them?
Mm.
And you don't have to answer.
I don't know. I mean, I thought that there were some deals that were going to be made, is what I'll say.
And they just didn't
happen. I thought, you know, some people had even said to the paper that this game should be played, you know, and, but, you know, people have different needs each year. And so, you got to do what's best for your program.
I know a good game for you every year seemed to be Tuscola, and that's not back on your schedule for the last couple.
Yeah, it was a good
Those
game.
Have been two
it was
really
good.
Good
I mean, and like I said, I thought last year we were good. They were young. The year before, you know, I thought we were in a little bit of trouble over there. Noah Shaw didn't punch that ball out late. We're in a little bit of trouble over there. You know, and like I said, I thought last year we were good and they were young. And I think they'll be pretty good this year. I think Crockett's got a good group.
Yeah, for sure. So, question for you. You're going to have to think about this one.
Okay.
I asked Coach Laws the same question. What's the craziest thing you've seen on the football field?
Craziest thing I've seen on the football field? Like a play? The craziest thing I've ever been a part of was I was at Chase when we won 10 games, our second year, and we were playing South Point, which is South Point. And Chase had not beat South Point in 50 years. I mean, it just didn't happen. It wasn't a thing. And I used to do a handwritten scouting report at that point where I pass out all the players. And one of the key points in the scouting report was, you know, you can't get down. Because once they get you down 14, it's over. They ground the clock out. You can't come back. They don't make mistakes. You know, and like I said, we had had a good year. We beat East Rutherford. We had R Central the next week for the county championship, which is a big deal down there.
Yeah.
You know, and we we just get our eyes kicked in at the start of the game. We're down 21 so fast. Like we
first
down,
quarter?
Like we're down 20. Like we're down 21. We scored to make it 21-7. I'm like, all right, it's okay. And then the very next play, they scored to make it 28-7. I was like, all right, it's over. And you know, you don't want to say. I mean, I was sitting there and be like, all right, you know, just keep morale up. That's what I was thinking. I was like, keep morale up.
But that was one of the main points.
Like, don't get down. I guess death. You will lose. And so we get down 28-7. I'm sitting like, we got RS Central next week. You know, got to keep morale up. Don't let the kids get down on themselves. It's still going to be okay. You know, we ended up scoring right before half. You know, it's 28-14. Going to halftime, Coach Rick Roberts, who was DC at Reynolds for a while. Yeah. He was my DC at Chase.
Really?
Living down there.
Coach Roberts was coaching when I played football at high school.
Coach Roberts Reynolds. Taught my mom in psychology at Reynolds.
We're probably the same age.
Yeah. So that was, but Coach Roberts was great. Like, for a young head coach who thought he knew but didn't know, having Rick Roberts there was great. And he gave South Point a look that I guess they'd never seen. But he gave him a nose nine. And I about take a timeout and start second half. So we score right before halftime, 28-14. We score to start second half, 28-21. I'm like, all right, momentum's building. And he gives him a nose nine. And I about call timeout. So I wasn't in there on the defensive side of the meeting. I thought we were just missing the line and they're about to run fullback dive for 100 yards. And he said, no, it's right. And he had like some linebacker blitz thing dialed up. And I was like, okay, coach, like you've done it a million times. I got you. And they fumbled. And then we score. And then they fumble, and then we score, and we end up beating them 42-28. And it was just like, awesome.
They did not score the second half.
No, it was the best feeling, you know, as far it was the game that we had no business beating them. And that
took one of your main key points, and
they took my key point and shoved it. They're like, oh, don't get down by 21. Awesome. Yeah, so that was a game that was one of those, like, that was a crazy
and
game.
South Point's a big deal. I mean, Tanner Muse was a kid that I was playing
Adam
with.
Hodges, dude. I mean, now, craziest thing I saw on the T-ball field this year is I saw three kids on third base. I thought that was wild. And our kid came and tagged all three of them, and the umpire kind of looked at me. I was like, man, I coached baseball for a long time. I have no idea who's
out. Who's out.
So one of the lead runner's safe.
Okay, but
the other two are
to
out.
Be fair, what happened was, runner on first, runner on second, ball hit to the outfield. Runner on second, goes to third, stops. Runner on first, goes to second, passes him, comes back and stops. And then runner goes to third.
Dude, I'm so confused.
And all three of them are standing on third. And I was like, man, I don't know what you're going to call here.
What'd they call?
I called two of them out, which ended the inning. So that was good for that was good for our team. But
so are you coaching now?
Coaching, loose term. Do I stand in the outfield and say, "Don't worry, buddy, it's almost over"? Yeah,
because last year you said you enjoyed not coaching.
Well, I stood out there. I did very little. We always had the right kid up to bat, and the right kid on deck, and the right kid in the hole. And we understood what in the hole meant by the end of the
year.
So, and there was no swinging bats in the dugout.
Right.
I could put an end to that pretty quickly.
Is this for your son or daughter?
Son.
Son, okay.
My daughter broke her arm, so couldn't play softball.
Oh, that's
and tough. She was heartbroken.
Yeah.
That was the first question she asked when the doctor said it was broken. She said, does that mean I don't have to play softball? I said, yes, sweetie. She said, yes.
What? So where do they play rec league at?
Over there.
In the Asheville area?
It's in the Asheville area.
Okay, that's fine. I understand.
It's where we live.
All right. So
my son's three, and I'm just wondering, it's like...
I start him at four. I would start him at four.
I'm just wondering. He's like, it's going to be tough when I take him to T-ball, and he's like, no, Dad, I want you to throw it to me.
Well, that's one thing that honestly bothers me. Don't get me on this, because this is going to turn into a four-hour podcast here in a second, because I could go through like T-ball rules I'd like to see adjusted. But like the best hitters in the world, they hit off a tee.
For sure.
And, you know, we're sitting there throwing pitches to kids three times, and then we put the ball on the tee. And does the kid hit it? Sometimes, yeah. I mean, there's some kids. But why are we not making 4- and 5- and 6-year-olds do, like, tee work?
Yeah.
Tony Gwynn would, you know, be furious if he saw that we weren't doing tee work out
there. Paxton's got all the tees in the world, and he's like, if once a week he'll only want to hit off the tee. And then other than that, he's like, Dad, throw it to me.
Just throw it to me.
And I will say he's got a good left-handed swing.
You should see Paxton's bat swing.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible.
He's already hit at 100 velocity.
Are you throwing to him off a knee, or are you standing up and just giving him a miserable downhill angle?
So I go to the knee because I'm like, I'm paranoid about like jacking up his swing from the downhill
angle. My favorite is when you got like a 6'4 mammoth dude out there, and he's standing up throwing down to these little kids. I'm like, dude, that is such an intense angle.
Joke on my father-in-law, he's short, and so it's like he doesn't have to go to the knee as much as me. But yeah, Pax is a good
swing
one.
It lefty?
Oh yeah, lefty.
Does he throw it lefty?
No, throws it righty. But he is not going to be able to figure. He does not do the whole like the glove defensive thing. I mean, he doesn't
play defense.
It's like he's
can
like
he be a DH.
He's
in
like
T-ball?
He's
I
like
I think you can. Yeah,
Dad, I just want to hit. I'm like, well, how about I hit to you? He's like. But then how would I hit? I'm like, okay, so you just...
That's fair.
Yeah. So he's a Carson Jones all over again. No, he doesn't want to play defense,
he's a
just
lefty
hit the ball.
I remember that.
No, he's the lefty, and when Coach Radford sees his swing, he'll be like, I might coach baseball again.
Yeah, I'll come back for that.
I can see Carson be like, no, I don't really want to play defense. Can I just hit?
I will say, so I've been taking him golfing with me, and I'm like, I would just be crushed if he just got super into golf.
Yeah.
I'd be crushed.
Like, how nice would that be just to go out there and play just golf like, with your kid?
It's like... It's like, Dad, I want to go golfing today. It's like, damn, honey, like, I got to take them golfing.
And like, what if they were good and you could just like caddy for them? And then you weren't mad at all.
Oh.
You were just carrying.
See, I don't get pissed. I keep him calm, cool, and collected.
I become the Sasquatch when I play golf. I will kill somebody with a club.
Yeah, it's, I mean.
I mean, I get so
just
angry.
Irrationally angry.
Yes, absolutely.
No, it's tough. But sorry to break off. I was just wondering if he just turned 3 and I'm like, I feel like he's already behind because he's not in T-ball.
So, no.
Oh, next year, though. You're good.
Yeah, next year. I'll do next year. Coach Radford's going to coach him.
Yes.
He'll play up with your son.
Yeah. Head coach.
Nope.
Y'all could coach together. That'd be a fantastic team.
I mean,
I'd hate to be that umpire.
Yeah. That'd be, that'd
that's
be,
why
you
I don't
you
do.
You guys are taking it too serious.
That's why I don't do rec league anymore. It's the parents.
We had one coach one time come over and be like, hey, we're winning. It was last inning because of time. He's like, but do you mind if we still hit? I was like, we're keeping score? There's no catcher. Like, what?
We're keeping score.
I didn't know we were keeping score in this deal, man. As soon as you get the third, you get the score. There's no one behind a plate to throw the ball to.
Did you not have a catcher because they didn't have enough kids?
No, I was thinking that's kind of how they played it. Just
I always made them have a catcher. I'm not throwing it back. You're throwing it back.
I had to stop playing. I mean, Coach Radford remembers Dustin Ombi from Reynolds, but me and Dustin were on the same team in youth league, and like me and him had to switch off playing first base because we were the only two kids that could catch the ball.
Yeah, if you have a kid that can catch in T-ball, it's a cheat code.
And so we just switched off playing first because we were the only two kids that could throw the ball to first and then catch the ball. And then we would have to, if me and him got split up, then I had to roll the ball, and my dad did not like me rolling the ball to first base.
You can imagine how Chuck Radford would feel about that. That's not real baseball.
That's not, no, Gary Jones. No, we're not doing
that. My dad went to one T-ball practice because I couldn't make it because of the 8th grade lift, and his whole thing that whole day was getting kids to back up throws. Like, that was funny. He wanted the
left
fielder.
They're too busy picking daisies out there. They're picking the flowers out.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, one last question here.
Okay.
Why did you get into coaching?
Why? I had a great teacher, coach, Mr. Coach Cecilla, was a history teacher coach and, 10th grade history. And so that's what I ended up doing. I got my degree in history, and minor in world religions. And then, wanted to coach football and baseball and I wanted to be him. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, that was the impact he had on me. And one of the situations where I knew what I wanted to do early on. Like I said, in 10th grade, I knew what I wanted to do, which is lucky. I know a lot of people don't have that. But in 10th grade, I knew what I wanted to do, and I was able to kind of start that career path. And as soon as I got – I didn't have a typical college experience. I mean, I started working at Watauga with baseball and working at App with football, and, I worked all the time. Yeah, I didn't go do what a lot of people get to do in college, but that's not what I wanted. I mean, I was doing what I wanted to do. Like, the spring was hard. It was spring practice with App and then baseball at Watauga. I mean, I was busy. And so yeah, and it was kind of, what can I do to have the greatest impact on the greatest number of people was kind of the thought behind it, and I think that's kind of where I'm at. It's hard. It's not easy. There's days where I'm like, man, I think I could do something else. But, I mean, that's when you try to go back and you get a random text message like, Coach, I just want to tell you I appreciate all that you've done for me. And from a kid that graduated, years ago, and you're like, man, I just didn't see that coming. Yeah, and you don't do it for that, but it's a good reminder.
Carson, you got anything else?
No, I mean, that's kind of why you do it. And that's why, although I got out of education, you got to always talk about finding something to fill your cup. And it's like, you get these people that go to retire, then they're like, what do I do with my life? And then next thing you know, they just sit on the couch and then everything declines. And it's definitely stressful having kids, doing everything. But then when you get the, we had a couple, me and Ty weren't at Inca this past year. We had a couple on senior days. I got invited to signings, got invited to senior days. It just happened that we had some family stuff go on that same week. So I wasn't able to make it, but it was the text of them signing. And it's like, Coach, thanks for everything you did. Love you with all my heart. And it's like, just stuff like that. That's kind of why you do it. And it makes $500 for a year pre-tax, like, worth it when you get that. Cause it's like, it's not about the money at that time.
Nice. Nice. Coach, anything we didn't ask you about Asheville High football we need to know?
No, I think we, year three, man, year three of doing this.
Year three.
Yeah, I was looking forward to talking to Pat about real estate prices in Asheville and how it's driving families out.
It is.
For year three.
Not his family, but other,
every
but,
other family. Yeah, other. Not other Pat's families. Family. Not Pat's family. Definitely not.
But I appreciate you guys doing this. I think it's fun. I think it's a good deal. I think
yeah, no, we enjoy doing it.
I love people being excited about high school sports.
Well, Mike can attest. Mike umpired baseball all year, and people would be shocked of how many people know or listen. And it's fun, especially when football gets going. And I think we asked you one year, like, do you listen? And you're like, depending on how the games are going.
He's like, yeah, you asked me that after the rough year, and I was like, no, I didn't listen. You guys were like, well, Asheville's not doing too good.
He said I quit listening after week four.
But no, we're excited to – football's coming. I mean, I saw it's 11 Saturdays till college football, and it's going to be –
That's why I told the kids in the weight room today, you still got 2 months to change your body, but, I mean, it's
coming.
Crunch time.
Yeah, it's crunch
time. In a hurry.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, guys, we appreciate you joining us. Next up, Coach Dinwiddie next week, T.C. Robertson. So, appreciate you joining us. Coach, thank you so much for coming.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
We'll talk to you guys soon.